I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Found on page 971 in the Bibles provided. Matthew 6, I'll begin reading with verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." If you were to accompany me on pastoral visits to people in a hospital or as a congregational minister to people in a congregation, you would observe me listening to people, sharing from the Bible with them, and praying with them. Sometimes I will come prepared with a message of a verse of comfort and hope. Other times when someone tells me his or her story, what they say reminds me of a verse or two in Scripture, and I will share these. And one verse I have used so often, I've come to memorize it, is Matthew 6, verse 34. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." A middle-aged woman is found to have a tumor in her abdomen, and she waits for test results to tell her whether it's malignant. And naturally, she fears it's cancer, and she hopes it's not. She says, "Pastor, I'm taking this one day at a time." An elderly man has suffered a stroke. He has to learn to walk and talk again. He's transferred to a rehabilitation center. There he receives physical therapy and speech therapy. And since he can't talk, he writes a note, "One day at a time." A mother and father watch their 20-year-old son suffer severe internal injuries and a head injury from a car accident. After a few days, his condition is not improving. They're preparing themselves that he may die. They say, "We love our son and try to make the most of each day. When things are really bad, it's one day at a time." Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus is concerned about us who worry. Very few of us come to church without some worry in our purse or our pocket. We worry. And Jesus knows it. The psychologist Rollo May tells us that anxiety and worry is probably the, quote, white plague of our existence. He says it's there, but we usually don't recognize its effect. In his book, The Meaning of Anxiety, he argues that there's more worry, more anxiety today than at any time in history since the Middle Ages, when society seemed to be coming apart at the seams. In the Middle Ages, he says, people worried about a disintegrating society. Today, we worry about a society that will burn itself out. Today, the most common mental illness in the U.S. is anxiety disorder, affecting about 20% of Americans. Now, anxiety rises to the level of a mental illness when it interferes with a person's day-to-day functioning. Recently, news commentators reported on the rise of anxiety and its close cousin, fear, in the U.S. People fear affordable health care. People fear economic injustice. People fear for their safety in public. More recently, people fear not knowing what is true anymore. Anxiety is on the rise among our young people, too. A trend among colleges is to develop programs that help students deal with failure. The problem with worry is that worry is a destroyer of health and well-being. It is possible to worry ourselves sick and perhaps even to worry ourselves to death. The problem with worry is that we don't simply worry with our minds, we worry with our bodies and our organs and our glands. Worry can give us ulcers and make us vulnerable to various kinds of illnesses. Doctors will tell us that worry can be tied to viral infections, hardening of the arteries, accelerating of diabetes, loss of memory, and other things. So Jesus is concerned about us and about our worries and what worries do to us. Three times in this passage, he says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Now, to understand what Jesus means when he says, don't worry, it helps to know what he does not mean. One thing Jesus does not mean is, don't think about tomorrow. I remember the delightful a cappella tune from some years ago by Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy. The song is part silly, part serious, and thoroughly playful. After hearing it and singing it, you can't help but smile and feel better. The music takes our minds off of our worries and replaces them with a lilting tune. If I had a better voice, I'd sing it for you. There are some people who don't worry because they don't think. And Jesus is not saying we should be like them. He's not commending thoughtless, reckless, shiftless people who don't think. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, of which these words are a part, Jesus commends people who live life reflectively before God. So when Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, he's not saying don't think about tomorrow. Thinking ahead and using our God-given abilities are part of being a responsible person. Another thing Jesus is not saying is don't work. He's saying don't worry. You may remember that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if a man will not work, he ought not eat. Working in life and working to resolve our worries is part of being a responsible person. So what does Jesus mean when he says, don't worry? Jesus is saying here, don't worry about what you need to sustain your life, because God cares for you. Jesus' main point is found in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Notice that Jesus begins with the word therefore. That means that what he's saying here is connected to something he has said before. And more specifically, Jesus is referring back to the Lord's Prayer, especially the petition, give us this day our daily bread. These words are Jesus' commentary on asking God to give us enough bread, enough to sustain us for today. If we pray to God, God, give us this day our daily bread, then Jesus says one of the things that will grow out of this prayer is that we will not need to worry. God will give us bread. God will provide for our needs each day. And Jesus presents three pictures that encourage us to not be overcome with worry about our needs. The first picture is described in Jesus' words, "Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes?" Those who study logic tell us that the argument Jesus uses here is one that moves from the greater to the lesser. The principle is this: if it's true of the greater, it's also true of the lesser. It's like saying if a master chef can't bake a wedding cake in an hour, then a child can't bake a wedding cake in an hour. What's true for the greater is also true for the lesser. So Jesus says, if God has given us life, the greater gift, will not God also give us food and clothes, these lesser gifts, to keep our lives going? Life is a gift from God. The fact that we are alive today at this moment is entirely a gift. So if God gives us the gift of our lives, God will certainly provide what is needed to keep our lives going. Jesus then looks to the birds. "Look at the birds of the air," he says. "They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Before, Jesus argued from the greater to the lesser. Now Jesus argues from the lesser to the greater. If God cares for the birds, the lesser, how much greater is God's care for you? The greater. You are much more valuable than birds. Have you ever watched a bird? Birds seem to be always on the move, in perpetual motion. Birds work hard. I've never seen a bird sit in a tree with its mouth open, waiting for heaven to drop a worm in its mouth. I've seen birds scratching and pecking and flying around looking for food. They work. In fact, the point of comparison Jesus makes is that we are greater than the birds. We are much more skillful than the birds. We are able to plant and harvest and store up food. If God feeds the birds, don't you think God will provide for you? If God sees that birds have crumbs to eat, won't God give you daily bread to eat? And Jesus adds one more picture that moves from the lesser to the greater. This time he looks to the lilies of the field. "Why do you worry about clothes? Look how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" The flowers Jesus speaks here are common field flowers, wildflowers. And in Israel, when a woman is going to bake bread, she goes out to the field to collect grass and maybe pulls a few flowers with it. She cuts the grass and dries it and puts it in the oven to light it. And for an instant, the grass makes a very hot fire. It heats the oven, and when the oven is hot, she takes out the ashes and puts in the dough for bread to bake. Jesus says that God makes this grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow. God makes a flower, a thing of great beauty. And even this flower, Jesus contrasts with Solomon. One of these flowers has more glory than Solomon's wardrobe. What does he mean here? Well, I think if you looked at one of Solomon's robes close up, the closer you look, the more the fabric will look like burlap or sackcloth. But if you look at a flower close up, the more closely you look,
the more beautiful it appears. Jesus makes the point that we are far more important than grass. We have more glory than these flowers. We are made in God's image. And God, who dresses the flowers, will also clothe us. So Jesus says, don't worry. Your God in heaven knows what you need for your life. God made you. God will also provide for you. God feeds the birds and clothes the flowers. God will also feed and clothe you. And Jesus links worry to faith. The way to cope with worry is through faith in your God in heaven who cares for you. And so involved in our worries is a broader view of life and the kind of world we live in. Do we live in a world that has no God? A world in which all we have to live for is food and clothing and money and material things? Or do we live in a world that belongs to God and is upheld by God's strong and loving hands? If we remove God from the picture, people often view life in one of two ways. Some view life as happening by chance. What happens, happens. It comes by accident. There's no rhyme or reason to life. And no one ever knows what's going to happen next. And if you're a person who believes in chance, you will worry. You will worry that what you have will be taken away. You will worry that bad things can happen at any moment. You will worry about how to find security and trust in life. There are no guarantees, so you will worry and work to control your life. Others have a view that's the extreme opposite, that everything happens by fate. Whatever will be, will be. Every thought and feeling and event is determined by what has just happened before. So everything is determined to happen as it does. And it is foolish to try to make any difference in life or hope for anything better. Now, if you're a person who believes in fate, you will worry. You will worry that you're powerless to live your life from within yourself. You worry about how to find meaning in life. You worry about what's going to happen next and what do you need to do to prepare for it. Jesus' view of life is what we commonly call providence. The Bible tells us that life does not simply happen by chance, nor is life controlled by blind fate. Jesus describes life as a gift from God, upheld by the loving hands of a God in heaven. The Bible shows us a God who is everlasting, who is above the world, and who brought the world into being. We also see in Scripture a personal God, a God who walks and talks with people, a God who responds to people, a God who lives in the world and works out God's purposes in life. This God is able to know our needs. And this God is able to work in the process of life to meet our needs. Jesus talks about a God who creates and sustains all things. So worry is an opportunity to trust that the God who made us will provide for us. Worry then becomes an opportunity to exercise our faith. So Jesus means to encourage our faith in a God in heaven who cares for us. And so he adds, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we trust that God will care for us and provide for our daily needs, then we are free to be concerned about other important aspects of life, like our relationship with God, our relationships with others, and the values of God's kingdom. The Apostle Peter seems to have been a worrier. He walks on water, and as soon as he hears Jesus, he worries about drowning. He was the one who worried about who would betray Jesus. He worried about his enemies that surrounded him at the fire before Jesus died. He worried about paying taxes to Rome. Yet later in his life, with the maturity of years, Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you." The word cares is the same word that is translated worry. In other words, Peter says, cast all your worries upon God because God cares for you. Now, the worst thing we can do with this passage this evening is now to worry that we worry too much. Please don't do that. But the best thing we can do is to look to God, turn our worries over to our God in heaven, ask God to give us this day our daily bread, enough to sustain us for today, and to trust that God will. Let us pray. O God, you are far more loving and faithful than we can imagine. Thank you for providing for us thus far in our lives and for your promise to provide for us in the future and even after death. Thank you for the memories of times when we have been in need and we gave you our worries and you responded with care. Thank you for such faithfulness that often your hands are unseen. Oh God, encourage our faith tonight. Encourage us to continue entrusting our worries to you. And as we do so, guide us to live in full awareness that our lives are gifts from you, that people are gifts, and you are the giver. And open our eyes to all your provisions, giving us means and resources for supporting not only our lives, but also the lives of others. And open our vision to see your kingdom and the means you give us to live for you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.